and I hope the next 30 minutes we should be out of here. First of all, let me introduce on my left, McCavell, who is from the UK government, and he does coordinate the views of the UK government, and also he will be providing us with the status of things the last few days. To my right, I've deliberately requested Bernadette Lewis, who is the Secretary General of the Caribbean Telecommunications Union, whose members are also members of the Commonwealth Telecommunications Organization. So I'm sure she will have a few things to say. There are basically two or three issues on the agenda. One is to brief you on the strategic plan which the CTO has adopted in the last 1 or 2 weeks. And Mark will provide you with the updates on the high-level meeting that was held yesterday. And then we'll have some discussions on some of the issues which will have been raised. Now, in terms of the strategic plan, I assumed office about 5 months ago, and I did outline to the council the vision that I had. The council authorized me now to recruit a consultant so as to elaborate on the plan. We published a request for proposals from consultants globally, and after evaluation, we selected Philip Cross, who is a US-based consultant from Jamaica. He used to be the head of the Caribbean at the ITU. So he assisted us to elaborate on the plan. I'm particularly happy that we have a fairly good representation here. I know the Commonwealth has representation from different continents. So we have Africa that's visibly here. We have the Caribbean that's also visibly here. We have Europe. We have Canada just coming. And we have Asia. So I'm very pleased that we have a fairly good representation. So I'll just run through the new strategic plan which was adopted by the Executive Council. And currently that plan has been circulated to council members for endorsement. So I do hope that before the end of this year, that plan will become effective, 1st April. CTO is the oldest and Commonwealth organization in ICTs. And it might interest you that we are celebrating our 115th anniversary this year. So we've been there for quite a long time. It has evolved over the years. In 1967, it became an intergovernmental treaty organization. Our members spread within the Commonwealth and beyond. We have adopted a structure that allows non-Commonwealth members to be part of the CTO. Currently, we do have members from governments, from regulators, from civil society, from the private sector. And recently, we have introduced a new category of membership, the academia, because we believe they have a lot of things that they can contribute to us. We've also introduced associate consultants, because increasingly we are being asked to do a lot of things which we will not be able to accommodate within the staff structure we have. So we are currently identifying potential associate consultants who can work with us. And quite a number of them have already been working with us, but we just need to formalize the arrangements. Like I said, we've been there for over 100 years, spread out. One of our key strengths is capacity building. And we do that on a number of issues: broadband, cybersecurity, spectrum, regulatory issues, ICT applications, and so on. We adopted a vision statement that we want to be a trusted partner for sustainable development for all through ICTs. The focus for us is that, one, we looked at our strengths. Secondly, we examined the SDGs that were adopted by the UN Assembly, General Assembly, last December. And we tried to draw from there the key elements on ICTs. And I will just show you three of those issues. Okay, before I get to that, let me just highlight the six areas, the six goals that we have in terms of the strategic plan. One is to enhance membership. By the way, there's free coffee there and tea and some things to nibble. So one is to enhance a membership value. We have currently introduced what we call the member action plan, whereby we are evolving an agreement between the CTO and every single member, be they government or sector member. And that draft is currently being discussed by various countries in terms of the action plan. And most of the countries have really reacted positively to that. Secondly, we are promoting enabling regulatory environments. We're organizing conferences on spectrum, for example. We have like three regulatory board workshops where chairmen of board, members of board, senior officials of governments, they come and they interact with us. We also give them the opportunity to interact with our host regulator, Ofcom, as well as the British Telecom. And that gives a very broad experience in terms of what the whole ICT is all about. Then we also have, as a third goal, to promote affordable, universal, and high-quality broadband connectivity. As we've heard many times, there are some 3 to 4 billion people who are yet to be connected. And the Commonwealth has quite a number of unconnected citizens. We want to promote connectivity across the Commonwealth. Fourthly, we want to promote the culture of cybersecurity and effective cyber governance. I can say with pride that we have had a lot of good support from the UK government, and through the support they've given us, we have been able to assist Uganda, Botswana, Cameroon, and lately Nigeria in terms of their strategies, in terms of their policies on cybersecurity. The government of Fiji just signed an agreement with us to assist them also in their cybersecurity plans. And we are currently working with the UK government on a big European Commission work, which hopefully we'll be doing with the SADC countries in Southern Africa. Then number five, we want to promote the use and development of ICT applications for health, for agriculture, for virtually in every sector of the economy. And finally, which is perhaps the one of my very important focus, is to ensure effective coordination of Commonwealth countries at international ICT conferences. Now, let me expand on this quite a bit because that's very key to me. One of the things that's happened is that in preparing for global conferences, we find that many developing countries have not had the right exposure to be able to prepare for these conferences. If you look at this ICANN meeting, for example, the participation of developing countries is very, very low. If you listen to one of the presentations, one of the reports said that the participation upcoming to this meeting was about 7% in Africa, about 8% in Latin America, in Caribbean countries, and we felt there's a need to assist many of our members who need the capacity development. So we've adopted a scheme whereby before any global conference, we have a preparatory meeting to educate our members, to compare notes. And when I took up office, I found that that was one of the first things I had to do. And I convened a meeting of the Commonwealth countries in London, and we looked at the positions of the Americas, Europe, Africa, and Asia on every single agenda item for the World Radio Conference. And we discussed amongst ourselves, we looked at the differences, we looked at the common proposals, and where there were differences, we discussed, we were able to educate ourselves, why did Asia take a point of view different from Africa on a particular agenda item? Why was Europe going a particular way? After those 3 days, we were able to come to a consensus. And the good thing for me was that the consensus which we reached actually reflected in the decisions of the conference in Geneva itself. And I was really excited with that. We had a meeting every week. We had countries that offered to champion certain issues. One of the most critical issues was global flight tracking. And we had a gentleman from Canada who offered to coordinate And that really changed the whole thing within the conference. It really helped. We also had other issues on UHF, which was championed by the UK. Again, what we decided at that preparatory meeting mirrored itself at the final conference. So at this meeting, we're also doing the same thing. We're coordinating a meeting. We want to share views. In Brazil, where we had the last IGF, we did the same thing. And we want this to be a continuous process. And later on, we'll talk about how the plans we have to have a standalone Commonwealth IGF. Internally, we have some goals, the ones I showed that are the external goals. Internally, we are reviewing our internal structure, and we're also developing a modern communication plan. Today, we now publish on a monthly basis an e-Commonwealth magazine. And if you have not been receiving it, since we have your contacts, you'll be receiving it every month. Like I said, the plan under the effective coordination, we're doing it within the ITU. The ITU is going to have a conference at the end of this year, for example, on standards. So we will be convening a Commonwealth meeting to prepare countries for that conference. So we're doing here at ICANN and the Internal Governance Forum. I've mentioned all these efforts that we are undertaking, and we are trying to also encourage our countries to understand the discussions on the transition of the INR stewardship. You'll notice from this meeting the absence of many of our countries. I was able to speak to a few ministers, and they asked me, the one question they were asking me is that, how can you help to get officials educated on the issues that are involved? And the one concern they have is the government participation. How do we ensure that governments are assured that their concerns, their input to be taken into account in the new structure? And I think that's one of the things that we need to look at. We have also decided to set up a website for this work, and I'm happy that the UK government also is supporting us on that. The link is there. And like I said, we will have a standalone IGF very soon in order to coordinate the various plans. And that's the... If you click, you get that on the website, and it has all the information at your disposal. To achieve this goal, we are going to recruit a dedicated officer to be looking at these issues, whether it's to do with ICANN or to do with Spectrum. We need to have somebody who will be looking after this issue for us. So, in essence, the goal is to deliver the value of the Commonwealth across the global ICT agenda. So that will, end my presentation, my short presentation. I will now call on Mark to give us just some highlights on what has happened the last few days before we go into discussion. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much, Shola. And appreciate very much such a good, strong and diverse turnout for this meeting in the lunch break. It's much appreciated. It's... It's tough going, this meeting. We started, the GAC started on Saturday. I was here on Friday for an all-day CCWG meeting, so it seems like it's never-ending, but it's great to see so many of you here sacrificing your time in the lunch break to join us, so we'll try not to detain you as we're only halfway through the day, and... there's much more to be done. Before I just touch on key developments, I just want to, first of all, to express my appreciation of the UK government to the CTO for undertaking so much valuable work in raising the profile of the Commonwealth here at ICANN through... convening this Commonwealth meeting of GAC representatives and advisors and so on within the ICANN community, and also at the IGF. And I was personally very privileged to assist Shola with the sessions in João Pessoa in Brazil at the last IGF with respect to Commonwealth interests and Commonwealth initiatives relating to internet policy, internet governance, and so on. It was It's great, and it's good news, certainly excellent news, to hear that we are relaunching the Commonwealth IGF website that was initially facilitated by ComNet in Malta. CTO has taken over, and that launched helped raise the visibility, rather, for the Commonwealth's initiatives on child protection, and became the platform for launching the Commonwealth Cybercrime Initiative, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. A very successful initiative, which is still building capacity in several Commonwealth states. So it's great news on that front. As I say, the CTO is providing invaluable support and facilitation for these important initiatives. So where are we during the course of this meeting? We've just had yesterday, as I'm sure you're well aware, the high-level governmental meeting. My minister was here, and several other ministers from and senior officials from Commonwealth member states were able to take part and take the floor. And it was, I think, broadly a very successful event. If you were here at an GAC meeting, rather, when the Moroccan GAC representative gave his initial reflections on how the high-level governmental meeting went, he emphasized the strong degree of attendance. It was a very well-attended meeting, 85. I think that means, he quoted a figure 85, and I think that means 85 governments represented by ministers and senior officials. I think in total about 25 ministers. So that's very impressive. The Moroccan ministry put a lot of effort into facilitating a very successful event. I was able to assist in some way because the UK, as you, many of you will know, hosted the previous one 2 years ago. So I think that was the third one yesterday. I think this is a model that has proved extremely valuable for bringing government representatives at the political level, at the high cabinet level, into direct contact with this community in ICANN, and engaging on issues that are having an impact on the critical infrastructure of the internet worldwide that impacts on all our policies with respect to digital economy, cybersecurity, all the elements of the strategic plan that the CTO has, which many aspects of that are very relevant to the work here. So my minister was pleased, Ed Vasey. He felt he had been able to convey the importance of that forum, the high-level governmental meeting, to bring focus and see ICANN in action and to network. I mean, I had to run around the whole day with him, introducing him to people, and that triggers discussions and new ideas and so on. So it's very important, and we hope that the fourth one, presumably in 2 years' time, will help build on this as a model that reinforces the transition, the implementation of the transition. That's the other key issue, of course, that is center stage. My advice to Ed Vasey was, well, we're almost there. We're 99% done. The main proposal was ready back in October. We just got to finalize the accountability dependencies relating to the naming proposal, and most of that is agreed and discussed. We have had discussions, and I think we're close to signing this off as the Governmental Advisory Committee, as one of the chartering organisations of the Cross-Community Working Group. We're close to that. We just have to get the formulations right, because, there's a minority statement expressing concerns about elements of the proposal, specifically Recommendation 11. We've had arguments, discussions. Okay, we can go with that. Okay, give ground on that. But we're not actually there in terms of a final answer. We've got to work on that. And as you know from the exchange we've just had in the GAC, we're not even agreeing on how to do it. But hopefully we'll sort that out pretty quickly. Because the time pressure is on. I mean, what hasn't been mentioned is what's going to happen in the US. Because if this slips beyond this week, that can throw all the timetables out, because the congressional hearings need to take place before Congress breaks up. So it needs to get to NTIA, it needs to be reviewed by them, and the congressional committees need to have a chance before they break up for the summer. I mean, if it goes beyond that into September, if we don't adhere to that, or help the US side adhere to that deadline, then it'll be caught up in presidential elections. And to be frank, you know, who knows what will happen? Who knows? There'll be pressures on both sides from the Democrats. They will say, well, maybe this is too complex, let's park it and come back to it later if we win. And maybe, you know, on the Trump and Cruz side, it'll become even more, you know, very turbulent, shall I put it that way, between these four tent curtains, if not walls. So the pressure is on. And that's so. I don't want to detain you with any more analysis, but I hope very much the GAC can continue. But if anybody's got comments on the process and what's the likely way forward, I'd be happy to try and help them. I've been closely involved in the CCWG work. I've stayed up late for long conference calls. I haven't done all of them, 90, whatever it is. But I've been tracking this pretty closely. I'm not a member of the CCWG, but I've been a participant, so that has enabled me to chip in and engage in the process throughout. So I hope that helps in kind of setting the scene and where we are, and as I say, if anybody does have any questions or additional reflections or concerns, we'd be very interested to hear. Thank you, Shola.
Good. Thank you very much, Mark. Before we start the discussions, I'd just like Bernadette to say one or two things. For those of you who are here late, Bernadette is the Secretary General of the Caribbean Telecommunications Union, and all our members are also members of the Commonwealth Telecommunications Organization.
All right, thank you very much, Shola, and good afternoon to everyone. I just wanted to congratulate the CTO on their strategic plan. I think it's going to take you very far in the work that has to be done. And I also want to just bring to the attention, we have an MOU, the CTO and the CTU, we have an MOU for cooperation. And I want to stress the value of cooperation and collaboration, not just between organizations, between governments and individuals. Sharing of information is very powerful. And Shola and I have actually committed to share and collaborate on many of the things that have been identified in the strategic plan. And I am taking this opportunity. It's a little late, but this is the first time I've been actually seeing Shola since his appointment, to congratulate him on his appointment. And I'm looking forward to a very close working relationship between the CTU and the CTU. I thank you.
Thank you very much. So the floor is open. Questions, how do you want us to help you better? What role do you think the CTO, the Commonwealth, can play? Yes, please. And please introduce yourself.
This is Iftikhar Shah. I'm Pakistan. Pakistan is one of the members of the CTO. Thanks, Chair, for allowing me to speak some words about the Commonwealth work. I especially thanks UK government for the facilitation to CTO for partly for their website development, and I appreciate the efforts of the CTO management for the future strategic planning. I think CTO is working on the right direction, and they selected suitable PRT areas like cybersecurity and ICT and disability, and ICT for and youth. It's a very appreciable priority areas. There is one my suggestion that CTO may have some sort of shared repository of the ICT application policy documents, so that the members country may took benefit from the experience of each other. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Tracy.
Yes, I just wanted to say that one thing I discovered with this accountability process is that maybe the members of the Commonwealth might need a little more briefing than perhaps what the GAC might be doing, some specific what it means for your country or your region and so on. So I'm wondering if now that we have the CIGF platform available, and I think the Facebook site is also back up, there could be an opportunity to start sharing probably briefs or maybe regional briefs, if I don't know, sound too specific, but so what does the accountability and transition mean for Africa, the Caribbean, Pacific, Europe, Canada, and perhaps, I'm not sure if there's any resources, but translation. I know that's been a challenge for many of the countries, and in the underserved regions working group, which I co-chair, we have been talking about that as well, so there may be an opportunity to collaborate and to get some of that information out so that the members can participate more readily in the discussions, one, but certainly understand exactly what it means and perhaps avoid simply just, you know, supporting or not supporting based on other issues. But what does it mean for the region, for your particular country? Thank you.
Thank you. Tracy is from Trinidad and Tobago. He did introduce himself. Yes.
Thank you very much. I'm Tokwe Fashidemi. I'm from Nigeria. Once again, to congratulate you on the plan, and especially the point about effective coordination of the Commonwealth countries, and I think that speaks to what Tracy just remarked about. But more to the point on the issue of the CCWG and what you pointed out about the timelines and the risks. I think everybody appreciates that, but more importantly is for the pro, let's move on group, to appreciate where the minority statement is coming from. And I think I would have thought that is a critical opportunity to bring everybody on board, but it seems the opposite is going on. And all that is stemming from the, item 4 in the preliminary conditions set by NTIA, and from where I'm standing, I think it's been misinterpreted. Okay, because what that statement said was about not handing over the process to a government-led organization or a multi-government-led organization, and I think it's pretty clear. From the get-go, ICANN is not a government-led organization. Okay, the governments, if you will, are only, you know, one segment of the multi-stakeholder group already. So putting in place a system that is now, you know, demanding more, or if you will, whittling down the influence of the GAC in a system that has already compartmentalized the government, you know, in an area exactly the same, you know, level, if not less, than other stakeholder group, is what is causing this. You know, and I give a simple example of what is happening right now, okay? Is the .Africa. So if you have a system where all the countries of Africa have signed off on something, okay, and an individual from the business constituency can hold all the government to ransom for over 2 years, and after going, and then the governments have diligently gone through the, you know, URDP system of ICANN diligently for 2 years. And at the end of it, ICANN itself, having gone through that process, agrees that they're right, but still no resolution. So that speaks a lot. So, and that's under the current system. If you should now go forward, you know, to where, you know, the proposals are going, then what's going to happen? We're now in a situation where you heard yesterday, government of India talking about 400 million people on the internet, China talking about 800 million people. In Nigeria, we have over 90 million people. You know, and we're getting to a point where people are beginning to say that internet access, not even internet access, broadband access is no longer, you know, something special. It's going to become a human right for the government to make available, whether anybody likes it or not. And at the same time, you don't want government to have any say. You know, I think it's wrong. So it's the other side, the mainstream side, really needed to take the opportunity. It's a little ask, and then everybody will have moved forward pretty quickly. So I think if this can be put into perspective, I think it will make life really easy for everybody. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I was going to get all the comments first, but you've made a very important statement that requires some kind of immediate response. So I'll call him Mark and then others to respond. It's very critical, Mark.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl, and thank you for raising this indeed very important and critical issue. The Dot Africa experience is a terrible one. It's a very unacceptable one. We would all agree on that. And, well, we have to learn from that experience, and hopefully the resolution will be immediate and real in practical terms. But we learn from that experience. And we have Nigel Hickson here from ICANN, and maybe he wants to comment too on this. I don't know. But my sense of how things are changing in association with transition is going to obviate that kind of thing happening in the future. And there is a decompartmentalization happening. The GAC in the past, and when I first joined the GAC, it was all about what are we going to say to the board? You know, and it was all a very small group, closed meetings. This was 2008, and you know, completely different from what we are now. But we have more things to do. And a key evolutionary factor for the GAC is the what I call transversal working within this ICANN community, so that we can be alert to public interest concerns at the first stage of any policy development process initiating through the work that we've done with the GNSO, through the consultation group, the GAC GNSO consultation group, on interaction on policy development throughout the process. So that, I think, is going to be a big change for us, and it has resource and capacity implications for us, which we must look at and consider. How are we going to participate in these processes? And there's going to be some discussion about this later on. So there's that, and transition. The UK view is that transition actually enhances the role of governments in an advisory capacity, because that's what the proposal says. We will be there in terms of decisional participation through providing advice. Decisions does not mean just object, support, abstain. It also means advice, and that's where I see the GAC also decompartmentalizing, if you like. So that's my initial take, but there's a lot of work to be done, and it's nothing's perfect yet, certainly, but we'll try to get it right. And there is the implementation phase to getting things perfectly right, to fine-tune things, I think. We won't be able to overturn stuff in the proposal, but the implementation is also key for the GAC to continue. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. Yes, please.
Thank you, Shola. Khaled Fatal, the Multilingual Internet Group. I want to draw on the comments of previous speakers, and also on your strategic plan. I've had the opportunity to work with the CTO before, and I'm actually pleased with some of the key points that you've put into your strategic plan. But before I dig into them, I want to draw a picture for everybody to get it into their mind. And excuse the example. If somebody walked in now with a gun, we know there's an immediate threat. If we were thinking about the weather forecast and how it's going to impact us, we will start thinking about maybe getting an umbrella for tomorrow or maybe wearing a raincoat. And I think not just the Commonwealth, but the global community needs leadership on solutions. And here I distinguish between what might be nice to have versus what's going to be impactful. And I draw to the point that you have in your strategic plan, the cybersecurity. And on that, I also draw on the cybersecurity is a term that's been used for the last 30, 40 years, and it's no surprise that many people still treat it as like cybersecurity. And there's very little distinction as to how the threats are impacting stakeholders at national and corporate level. And there needs to be a distinction. So we have the conventional threats, which is everything we see, but we also have the new, what we label as the poly-cyber, the political cyber threats. And they are actually impacting infrastructures and natural resources and corporations. And unless, if we, as organizations, as you asked what the advice we would give you, if organizations like the CTO, like CTU, are interested in thought leading those members and those stakeholders on what they need to do that is of immediate impact to them today, then a clear distinction in cybersecurity threats and how they impact them needs to be provided to them and solutions so that they can be better. And at the end of the day, even at national level, there are opportunities to develop competitive advantages. Those nations that do better make their country and their stakeholders more competitive in the digital world, and that's also an opportunity. For those who don't want to, you know what? God takes care of everybody. That's my point.
Thank you very much. And for those of you who may not be aware, next month we are organizing a cybersecurity conference, and we will try to encourage those who cannot come to London to follow up online. So check our websites on that. Any other comments from what? Yes, Mary, please.
Good afternoon, all. My name is Mary from Nigeria, and I had been in GAG, I have other people that are in GAG, but we also play in other constituencies. And I have always advocated that this meeting should not be limited to GAG Commonwealth members. Other constituencies will come in. Speaking from the country code top-level domain, I don't know. I think it is right time that we look at what we should do as this group will do to encourage members that, first, whether they have their TLD delegated to them first, and whether they understand the process, whether also they understand the business in the domain name business, and what the develop the legacy, the old ones like UK or Australia or Canada could do to bring up the young the small CCTLDs. In CCTLD process, we are varied in the approach and operation. Some are totally government, others are totally private, others are non-for-profit. So the Commonwealth may also look at where, how, and why it should help those CCTLDs. Our participation will not be effective or visible if we don't even understand the process. And I like the fact that Shola is proposing a pre-meeting whenever we come so that we have common understanding. So outreaches plus education plus encouragement and exchanges. What helped me when I first started in CCTLD was that I was able to go to the UK, and I spent about 3 days there. They told me what they were doing, so it helped so much. So CCTLDs, like the big ones, could also take small exchange and develop the young ones so that we can also come up. And when we come up, we'll be able to contribute effectively. We'll be able to also participate effectively. So participation and contribution, both of them can only happen where you understand the process. If you don't, you don't. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We have about 5 minutes left. Yes, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. My name is Justin Rugondihene. I am the director of Emerging Communication Technology in Rwanda Utilities Regulatory Authority, and I am the representative of Rwanda in GAC. I have 2 points. Maybe currently NIGAC, there are some discussion which are going on. Examples is what you call stress 18. Sometimes those kind of issues require an harmonized position. Maybe my suggestion is maybe if the Commonwealth, within the Commonwealth, if it can be a kind of framework where countries or in Commonwealth can harmonize position on some critical issues under discussion in ICANN. That is my first point. The second one, African countries, we have, we don't have enough participation in ICANN, in ICANN meetings. While in ITU, there is really an increased participation. So maybe when there is a meeting in council working group in ICANN discussing on issue of internet governance, African countries, they are there.
In ITU,
yes. But coming back to ICANN, the presence is not enough. So that is coming from maybe some mindset. Some African countries have the mindset that they should give priority to ITU discussion on internet governance in ITU and ignore what is happening in ICANN. And I think discussion is even in ICANN is more important than in ITU because the future of internet governance is discussed here. So my request maybe to Commonwealth is just to see how is to advocate maybe to those countries who have a mindset who don't give importance to ICANN meetings, just to advocate for us being in high level meeting for Commonwealth or being in another framework that maybe you know better than me. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the floor.
Thank you very much. Yes, before I give the floor to you, Gloria from Uganda, you want to say something? Since you're also from government and you've been active on ICANN.
Thank you very much. First of all, I would like to thank the CTO for the work they are doing in Uganda. We appreciate, especially on the cybersecurity and the framework that we've come up with. I would like to throw back what he has said back to us. We are the future. We are the representation of our governments. So when you go back, you're talking to your heads of department, you're talking to your ministers. What are you taking back? We have to make sure that we bring them to the floor to understand that ICANN is very key and very important. We are using the internet for socioeconomic development, and that is our future. That is the future of our countries. So I think the onus is back to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, please.
Thank you. My name is James Njiroga. I'm from Nairobi, Kenya. I'm sorry I've come to this meeting late, but I think I'll have to catch up with what I've been going on. But going with what my sister has just mentioned about being representative of our governments back home, first things first. I wanted to know whether the CTO have an office in African countries, for example, like in my country. Yesterday, during the opening reception, we heard that the ICANN is going to open a communication center at Nairobi. If you people have a communication center, let's say, like in Nairobi or any other part of African countries, it is good for us to be well informed, so as to know where we can get information required about taking back the information to our governments. Remember, some of us are not even anywhere closer to the government. We are civil societies. And the government takes any information from a person like me. They even don't know whether I'm here. They don't care. I don't think it is simple for some of us to take message back home. But with your support and proper information, I think we can get somewhere. That's my point.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me just draw on what the gentleman for Rwanda and the response from Uganda. I think what the lady from Uganda was saying, it's up to us. And let me tell you what experience. Yesterday evening, I was invited by the civil society and private sector of Nigeria to a dinner. They hosted for the permanent secretary of the Minister of Communications. Very interesting. They hosted him. And that one-hour dinner turned into something else. The permanent secretary concluded that, wow, there's some real work to be done. He listened. And I think if such a thing could be done, the private sector should not wait for government to do things. Engage governments. And that's what I discovered yesterday. It was just 1 hour, 30 minutes, and it was a very useful exchange of views where the government itself, the government representative, took certain things on board and decided that they now begin to have to do things differently. So it's not just ICANN doing something for us. We also have to take the initiative. The same thing with the Africa.com. There are issues with that. At the end of the day, both sides have the arguments. And we, as the CTO, have committed to do certain things privately to ensure that that problem is resolved. Because I don't want that experience to discourage the Africans to start going against the transition. It's important that we have confidence, trust in the new system that's coming up. And that issue must be resolved as soon as possible. We are going to take steps to make sure it's resolved. With regards to whether we have presence everywhere. Just go to our website, we're there. So we're there in Nairobi through the online system. Nigel is here from ICANN. I'm sure he wants to say one or two things. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Oshodo. I'm Nigel Hicks, and I work in the government engagement team in ICANN. And in ICANN, the Commonwealth is a bit of a difficult vehicle because it's nowhere, if you see what I mean. The Commonwealth doesn't fit in any one region, so we look after it from Geneva, which seems appropriate, I suppose. But it's really good having a relationship with the Commonwealth. It's really good having a relationship with the CTO, and I think this initiative is excellent, and thank you, Shola, for your leadership on this. I'm not going to comment on Dot Africa because, I mean, you know the facts better than we do. All I can say is that when the news came in of the latest problem in terms of the filing of a restriction order in the US courts, there were many of us that were just as disappointed as you were, because it would have been so nice to be able to have a positive message on Dot Africa. Well, I think we have a positive message, but it would have been so nice to conclude that particular issue. On the wider issues of the IANA transition, obviously you've discussed them in detail, and it's you've heard all the discussions. All I think I would say is that in the years that I've been working at ICANN, and before that in government, this has been the issue of the US sovereignty over over part of the route of the internet has been such an important issue for governments. I think as civil servants we all face difficulties in explaining to our ministers why there was this US link. However, this link was never abused, but that was the first question of ministers. You know, what have they done to it? And we said, well, it's never been abused, but it is a link to this to the US, and how that affects national sovereignty, of course, is very important. So we certainly hope the transition will go ahead. It's a compromise. Not everyone has got their what they wanted, but there's more work to do. There's implementation work. There's another work stream too on accountability, which I hope people will be involved in. And thank you for the governments that have been involved in this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Nigel. Any other burning issues? Mark? Thank you.
Thanks. Just a reminder that there are still Commonwealth members who are not on the GAC. So anything people around the table and our contacts can do to close off this gap in Commonwealth participation in ICANN through the Governmental Advisory Committee would be much appreciated. The countries are Bangladesh, Belize, Guyana, Lesotho, Maldives, St. Kitts and St. Vincent. So seven to go. The number's coming down. Antigua was a recent joiner, I remember, at the last meeting, I think. So, yeah, please broadcast the importance of joining the GAC and participating in all these key issues, including the transition, implementation, Workstream 2, as Nigel touched on. You know, there's a lot of work to be done, and we all need to be involved. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much. For Bangladesh, I did engage two ministers just 2 weeks ago, and they promised to look at the issue, because back home they have a lot of issues on the internet, so they're a bit skeptical about what's happening. But we're engaging them. That's quite important. Just to round off, I'd like to thank every one of you for coming here. We didn't provide lunch. Well, we provide what, you know, in the UK they call nibbles, you know, and I hope you enjoyed it. Secondly, I did mention that we are in the process of recruiting someone who can do this coordination work for us at the CTO. So if you're aware of some young, dynamic man or woman who will be ready to do this task, we are prepared to consider. So send us CVs. Thank God we have a website which is there. We are going to be updating it so that it's more active, and we will have that person coordinate the activities more. Finally, we're also planning to have a standalone Commonwealth IGF. We are still discussing with potential host countries. So if you think you are in a position to host, please let us know. There's a country that has expressed interest, but we haven't concluded. And we are always open to discussion with any country that's interested. Finally, let me thank Bernadette for being here. Thank you very much. And definitely our collaboration will continue. And Mark, you've done quite well. We appreciate. ICANN, we always appreciate your support. He was saying, doesn't know where to place us. Well, that's a good one. We are everywhere. We're in Africa. We are in... Actually, the last ICANN, the Africans decided to come with us to have a meeting, if you recall, in Dublin. It was an African Commonwealth meeting, which was very good. And by the way, also, one of the strategies that I have is that I'm expanding the Commonwealth. And very soon you hear that Gabon, you know, a French-speaking country, may likely be a member of the Commonwealth. Because I believe that we are not going to limit it to, you know, English-speaking countries. A member of the CTO. But I also tell you one thing, even though I should not say this. The president of Gabon said to somebody, Cameroon is bilingual. They're getting benefit from both sides. What's wrong with us? That's what the president of Gabon said. And that actually gives us the impetus to encourage the telecom community and the ICT community to be part of Commonwealth. So on this note, thank you very much. I welcome our friends from Bermuda. First time we've seen them here. I hope you have something to take back home and be part of us. Well, thank you. And who took the notes? Yes, I have this gentleman, Aditola, who has volunteered to take some notes. And he will send you some notes thereafter. Okay. Thank you very much. Have a nice afternoon.
Thank you. Great stuff. Good time, too. Different buildings. Lunchtime. Thanks for the input.